Hello, my name's Adrian, I'm an addict. Sat down in this chair, right, and I looked up, and you know what? Fear has just touched me, something chronic. But you know what? I can only tell you my truth today. My truth and my story. Can everybody hear me in the back, yeah? No? Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you, you broke the ice, I can get on with this now. Right, I was brought up in Wembley, Northwest London. And my first drug of choice. Well, the first time I started acting out with mind-altering substances was with cigarettes. And it progressed from there. I started to move about with my brother, who was 4 years older than me. And I always wanted to be part of something. I didn't want to be mixing with lads my age. So I got involved with my brother's mates. And it progressed from there, started smoking puff. From there, went to alcohol, had a period of drinking. And by the time I got to secondary school, I started selling cocaine. And by the time I started selling cocaine, I thought I was the man, in a sense, because I made so much money from it, and I was able to do anything I wanted to do. And I had that feeling of being part of, because I had so much money, I could get anything I wanted, I could have anybody around me, and it felt great. It felt absolutely wonderful. During that period, I got involved in actually taking my own supply. The first time I tried it, I fell in love with it. And it was nice, but my disease, as it says, it's cunning, and it nurtured me very, very, very slowly so that it could take me to my knees eventually, you know what I mean? And this went on for a period of time. I kind of dropped out of cocaine for a little while, got into the acid house rave scene, started popping pills, ecstasy and things like that, and the cocaine was kind of put on the back burner for a little while. But then I got introduced to crack cocaine, and my inquisitive mind once again came alive, and I needed to try this because the smell, I smelled some guys smoking it, and it was offered to me and I tried it, and it blew my mind. And from then it was inevitable, a downhill struggle for me. It destroyed everything that I had around me and also in me. It took away my self-worth. I became violent towards my parents. I had an argument with my dad in the garage over something very, very minuscule. And I tried to hit him in the head with a hammer. And that was due to my drug addiction, but I didn't think it was that. I thought, you know what, that's just how 18, 19 year olds behave when they get told off by their old man, you know what I mean? But it was my drug taking what was doing that to me. And I didn't realize that. I used to work for my dad as well. And weekends I used to go out and use, and couldn't get up on a Monday morning. And my dad thought, you know what, if you can't get up in the morning, whether you're my son or not, I can't have you around. And I lost my job. So I was signing on, and I spent all my gyro money on this. And it took me to a really uncomfortable place. Then my mum and dad, they went to the West Indies, so I had to fend for myself. Got involved in a relationship which I've been a part of for 19 years now. I got my partner involved in crack cocaine. We have a child, she's 13 now. But even when she was first born, I thought that might help me. But was I wrong? I was. That couldn't even change how I felt about the love of this drug. Anything else didn't matter. Didn't matter to me. All I wanted was to do was to use. And it came a point when my girlfriend, she found recovery herself. And she tried to steer me in the same direction, but I wasn't ready for that. And many days she tried and says, look, you need to come to a meeting, otherwise you're just going to be out there all the time. And I thought, I'll do it when I'm ready, you know what I mean? Whenever I was told to do something, I always went against what I was told to do. I was that stubborn idiot. and it kept me out of here for a long time. My partner became 5 years clean, and I watched her grow in front of my eyes and become a different person. And through my using, I lost my voice. I couldn't speak. The only conversation I had was with the dealer, nothing else. But today I don't have to do that. I've got a voice today from practicing the steps and getting involved in recovery. And it's given me a chance to do this, sit down in front of you guys. And everybody in here has got something to offer me to help me on my journey today. And I embrace that today. I was offered to get into a rehab many years ago. And when I was told, Adrian, you need a rehab, I was like, what do you know what I need? And I told this fella to, you know, fuck off. And he was right, because I was out there for many years, and it was offered to me again. This time, the guy didn't tell me. He said, hey, you know, there's a telephone number. It's a number for a rehab. Call the guy. I know you'll bounce back from this relapse, he said to me, and you'll get back on your feet and do what you're doing. I had tried every single thing possible. I went abroad, tried self-detoxing, tried all of them. I tried every single avenue, and the only one I hadn't tried was the one that was suggested to me. And I thought, what else have I got to lose? So I did, I tried it. Because I had a choice then. I could either go to the treatment centre, or I could stay out there using. The using would have me in an uncomfortable place at that point, so I tried it. I got in, and that place kind of, it stripped me back to the basics. It brought me back to the ground. And the first week I was in there, I thought I knew it all. Oh, I don't need this. And I was going against the grain things. And you know what, it made it even harder for me. We had to attend meetings in there, and I went to a meeting and somebody said to me, Aidan, you know what you need to do? You need to get vulnerable. And I thought, you know what, I don't know how to do that. But I took on this lesson and I did, and I started sharing things which were deep inside of me, you know what I mean, what I told no one. And things started to change. I became very humble. And I gave myself a chance, you know what I mean, to take on board simple suggestions so that I could get a better life. I saw my daughter at a meeting once when I was in treatment, and she was so happy to see me, it made me cry. And then, like, she brought me a letter with a picture in it, and it was a cartoon character which she'd done off the internet of a flying guy, and it said Super Dad at the bottom. And when she gave that to me, it made me cry. And that was her way of saying thank you, Dad, because you're trying to do something better in your life. So she couldn't explain it with words, so she done it with a picture. And the other day she made another suggestion to me. I gave her some money to go out, and she rang me up from Croydon and she said, Dad, I'm going to buy you some aftershave. And she's never ever done anything like that. Never in her life, because she didn't know how to communicate with me, and I didn't know how to communicate with her. I didn't have those skills, basic skills, to talk to my daughter. I couldn't do it. I have that today. And the only reason I have that today is because I became humble. I became willing to accept that I cannot do this by myself. I need you guys, and I need a God of my understanding to help me. Because if I don't, I'm going to end up dead. I've got two choices. There's two roads for me to travel. There's one where it's up and down, indifferent, some days happy. Or there's that one where it's just miserable and it's dark and I've locked myself in a room. And I said, you know what? I want that one where it's got that indifference. Because you know what? I can enjoy it. I can be with my family. I've made so many loving friends in recovery, you know what I mean? And a few of them are here tonight. They give me support. They've helped me on my journey. You know what I mean? They give me strength. I love them to bits. I love anybody in here today, you know what I mean? Because I'm here to help wherever I can. And you guys are here to help me. When I go to meetings and I hear people sharing back, I take something from that meeting. It might be just one word, but I take something. Because you know what? It's going to help me in my life. It's going to keep me safe. I've just been given a 5-minute warning. I could go on for another half an hour because I feel comfortable now. But I practice this program religiously. I don't do it perfectly, because if I do a perfect program, I'm kidding myself, because it ain't perfect. But if there's any newcomers in here today, this thing does work. I thought that I never had a chance to do anything. I didn't think I would ever get this. I didn't think I'd ever recover, and I have. And I'm here to tell my story today in front of you guys. I'm going to wrap this up now. Thank you very much for listening. God bless.